You're listening to 3EO Radio, Galactic Radio, that provides edutainment for the mind, body, and soul. We are empowered.
It's a new day. This is your season. It's a new day. This is your season.
You're listening to 3EO Radio, Galactic Radio, that provides edutainment for the mind, body, and soul. We are Empowerment. Download our app for iPhone and Android users. Beam us up on tablets and PCs at www.3eoradio.com. On Google Play, TuneIn, and on over 30 major market platforms. We're at support@3eoradio.com.
Hey, hey, we're back. This is your host, Jerome Tucker, back with Third Eye Open. I know it's been a while, but we're back in the saddle again. We had to get some things organized. We've expanded. Now we've got our channel. Before, we just had the radio show, Third Eye Open, and we're on to bigger and better things. It's a new day, and we've got an extraordinary day for you today with a tremendous, tremendous guest, Griot. That once I sat down and had a conversation with her, she really knocked my socks off, really. But we're going to get that into a minute. But I wanted to, you know, start off kind of sharing why we've gone on and created the channel. As we go through life, you know, we all have dreams and aspirations. And one of the things that I wanted to do personally, just to share a little bit with you, is I wanted to empower the masses. You know, having a show, having a program, you're on someone else's channel. And there are limitations. And I wanted to alleviate myself of those limitations because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. You know, sometimes we feel like it's selfish thinking that way, but God gave us all a purpose, I believe. And sometimes to accomplish that purpose, we have to leave some things behind. Everything that comes with you won't necessarily go with you. And the program that I had, the station I was working with, Blog Talk Radio, which we're on now, is fine. But I found it to be a place where I can now create my program, but put it on my channel. So it's always a matter of growth. My channel is 24/7. That's going to be launching within the next week, and you'll be able to listen to empowering programs 24 hours a day. And our purpose is to bring speakers, trainers, coaches, life coaches, to bring all these people who have content whose purpose in life it is to empower you. But I have to be the ringleader because I've taught in schools. I've worked in television. I've worked in with the security clearance. I've worked in the government. So I've seen a lot of things. And there's a particular way to present information so that it can be empowering to us. And boy, do we have some empowering people on our list for you this year. It's going to be tremendous. So stay tuned. The Third Eye Open, because you're not going to find this anyplace else. We are the only empowerment channel in the world, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we're going to kick this thing off. As I mentioned to you earlier, I'm excited about this guest because I originally knew her fiancé. I met her fiancé a few years back. I think it was about 2002, and impressed me because of his knowledge, but more so his humbleness. And so when he shared with me that there was a love in his life, I said, now, who is it that captured this guy? You know, he's always, how can I say, understated, and he's one of the most respected people I know. In the county. He's some people refer to him as a genius, but, you know, you see his, people's talents and his skills, but you basically gauge people on their personality and their spirit. And I make it a point to bring a positive spirit of people into my circle around my family, and particularly when I present them to you, our global audience. And when I met her, it's like, okay, all right, I give it to her. She's okay. She checks all the boxes. And the thing that really impresses me about her, that you'll find out about her in listening to this interview, is that she's down to earth. You'll find out she's smart, she's witty, she's attractive, she's beautiful, but she's beautiful on the inside. And Prince has a song. And in the song, he says, the beautiful ones always spoil the picture. Well, this isn't the case this time. She has a beautiful spirit, and she's written a book. The book is called CEO of My Soul, and in writing that book, she opens up her world and her experiences. It's not easy for a lot of people to do that, and she has a hit here. Oprah jumped on it, Oprah is supporting it, and you're in for a treat, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado, I introduce to you Nicole Nick Colbert, the author of CEO of My Soul. Welcome to Third Eye Opening, Nicole. Welcome.
Hey, brother. How are you doing? Oh, my gracious. Your check is in the mail, my friend. That was outstanding opening.
Well, sometimes
you
got to bring
it. I got to eat my Wheaties now to live up to that. That was awesome.
All you have to do is be Nicole. That's good enough.
Yeah,
so thank you for coming
yeah.
on Third Eye Open and sharing your book and your life with us. It's a tremendous book. My wife and I both have read it, and we've been talking about it, how transparent you've been, and how impactful your book is. Share with the audience why you decided to write this book and name it CEO of My Soul.
Well, I'll just back up a little bit. You know, I had a business. I'm an attorney. I practiced law for many years. And in about 2003, I put together my business plan. I wanted to do a total sea change. And I opened a day spa and hair salon chain. The name of the business was Soul Day Spa, S-O-U-L, Day Spa. And I was like, oh, I love that it has that double entendre. I love soul music. It was a kind of a hip, very professional but elegant place. And I liked that our motto was that we really wanted to treat a person not only their outside, but, you know, really treat their spirit, treat them well all around. So we did that successfully for almost 10 years. I had two locations in the D.C. metro area. And in 2010, I closed. And so the book really talks about, and I started writing the book when I closed. I journaled on my experience, and it started out really just saying, hey, let me show people the do's and don'ts of opening a business, because I did everything on my own. I didn't have any partners, and so I learned a lot. And when I closed, I had so many, you know, different emotions. Actually, not different emotions. They were pretty much all negative emotions. I was very disappointed. It wasn't a happy time in my life at all. So it was a also therapeutic process just to kind of get it all out, right? But you know, then I got stuck writing it. I was like, all right, is this just going to be a business book? Or am I, you know, or is it going to be more? Because there were a lot of things going on in my life during that time that behind the scenes, you know, when I went home, my family, I had children, I was married, you know, all those kinds of things. And there, it just felt like the book was kind of half done. So I would put it down, pick it up, put it down, pick it up. And what I realized was that I had a lot of healing, a lot of maturing to do, and that was why it wasn't quite done. So fast forward to really this time last year, I had made a lot of different changes in my life, and then the book kind of wrote itself, so to speak. So what started out as a very how-to manual about business, it really talked more about how to rebuild your life. I don't know if you're getting feedback. I'm getting feedback on this side, Jerome.
You still getting that?
But the book turned. No, that's perfect.
Okay.
But to make a long story short, I kept writing, and I put in things about my personal life, too, and how I had to recover from tremendous losses in my life. So what ended up, it ended up being a very personal memoir, and I love that the name of the book is CEO of My Soul, because it is not just about a business, but it's about you really having control over your destiny. And, you know, when you're putting God first, putting yourself and your abilities and trusting in those, you really do have the ability to control your destiny, so to speak. So that's what the book is about.
Yes. And one of the things you just mentioned is about having control over your destiny. I know when I first started out, launched, and was trying to, was building a business, and just in life, as you go through, you take that perspective that, okay, I control everything. And then when you get out in life, a lot of things come at you that you don't control. And sometimes we get to the point where it's like, you know, I wasn't expecting that. Things aren't supposed to go like this. Things, you know, I got it planned. It's all worked out. I'm going to make this happen. And then when these things start popping up, we tend to get discouraged.
And
you know, sometimes we feel like, well, I'm not doing as good as I thought I was going to do. But in reality, when those things come, we still are in control of who we are and how we respond to it. When did you realize? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I agree with you definitely.
No. Okay. So when did in your book? I mean, we see you grow from someone that just jumped out there. This is what you wanted, so you followed your passion, and then you caught up to the real estate aspect of it, and how you run a business, and managing your people, and all these things. And you adapted to it and grew into it. Was there a time? Well, when was the time that you realized that even though you control, I mean, how you control your destiny? It's not everything goes your way, but what did it turn out to be that you understood about controlling your destiny? What does that look like?
So I'm gonna back up and I'm gonna take the liberty to revise my statement in terms of being in control, okay? Because my growth, you know, I've always had been very ambitious young lady. You know, I have confidence. I get really laser focused, almost obsessed about certain things, and so I never thought that I lacked control. That was never an issue. But after I built the business, and then after I lost the business, right? So I had to close for a myriad of reasons. Some were decisions, bad decisions that I made. Some were, you know, economic forces, and some were just I was just drained. But I'll say what I learned after I lost that and had to rebuild was that control is a partnership. I realized that, you know, kind of how I was living my life before, it was a very singular decision-making process. I did not have God within my kind of in the driver's seat. I did not consult with him. I was very controlling. I know what to do. I believed in myself, and that is definitely part of the equation for any amount of success or life lessons. You do have to have belief in yourself. However, I think I was out of order, and I do mention that in the book. I believe that I put other people's judgments probably ahead of my own. Sometimes I put my own judgments ahead of consulting God and consulting my gifts. I made fear-based decisions, you know, reactionary decisions. I did not consult with God. I did not, you know, practice some stillness and wait and weigh things out. And so that really was my big aha is before control meant that I was, you know, I was just going to think it out and do what I wanted to do. And sometimes I did it out of fear. Now I really believe that my faith has strengthened. And so instead of making fear-based decisions, I really try to get still. have ongoing conversations with God, really testing my patience with things instead of doing them on my own time clock, on my own watch. I really try to practice that patience. And that is not natural, child. I mean, I am very impatient, very much like I want what I want. But sometimes I think that I've improved with age. I've improved with experience. And so that's where I am now, that I think I have a partnership. I have a true relationship with God. And I think my decision making has strengthened as a result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that control kind of comes down to, as things approach and we go through these obstacles, the control is how do we respond to them. And it sounds like you've gotten to the point where when things happen, you say, okay, I'm not going to blow a stack. I'm not going to get crazy on this thing. I'll let God go ahead and do his part. You know, I'm going to sit back here.
Well, now
do what I can.
Now, I wish I could, not to cut you off, but I do not want to leave your audience with the impression that I got it all together. I just have better tools now. I still freak out. I still, you know, get stressed. You can ask my loving partner. I mean, my God, you know, he can definitely tell you. However, having tools, we're not perfect. We're all human, and we all have these characteristics, mm-hmm. not only characteristics, but things that we have developed over time, you know, our defense mechanism. So, you know, so when problems or situations come up, you know, I do revert to some of that fearful, you know, some fearful kind of anxiety state. However, now I have different resources, and I don't act on that anxiety. I don't act on, you know, whatever that that stressor is. And I applaud myself that at least now I have some tools, and and that's what the book really is about, is trying to share my real experiences and trying to share those with other people.
So many times when we see someone has a business and you were promoting your business, you were on television, you were known around the Washington metropolitan area, and when we see people who are successful like that, we are just automatically assume that they got it all together as far as their personal life. You had the whip, you had the car that you wanted and everything, but everybody is still living in life, you know, regardless of what you have, what your work is, what your business is. And on the other side, you were going through your personal life. Can you share a little bit about how you, as you went through the different things in your relationships and having children, it everything kind of weighed on everything else? And what did you use tool? How did you keep it together? I know you had your sons, but were they the key element in helping you to keep the lid on it? And what part did they play?
That's a great question. Yes. So at times there, I look back. So let me give your audience a little bit of context. So, you know, I had my business over the course of almost 10 years. And I didn't have a big religious framework. My parents and my brother and me, that was my nucleus. My parents have been married. They're still married. I'm 45, so my parents have been together, you know, 50 plus years. And I really have a wonderful, almost childhood. So relationships just were my comfort zone and something that I just felt like that is, you know, everybody should be married. I mean, that's, you know, and that is a good thing. when I am from California.
You're breaking up a little bit on us. Nicole, you're breaking up a little bit on us.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, you're clear.
Okay. So, make a long story short, when I came to D.C., I was really looking for that kind of security and a support system within relationships that I didn't.
You're kind of breaking up again. I tell you what, we're gonna take a break right here and we'll get that straight. We're speaking with Nicole Colbert, the author of CEO of My Soul. We're gonna take a break right here and come right back. This is Ambition, God's Children.
Everybody wanna put their faith in the man, embracing his plan, instead of taking a stand. Let's start reaching out for unity, equal opportunities, cause the real power lies between you and me. What do you believe? Is it religion? Can you paint the real picture from a book that's man written? Now that's fact over faith. No matter what you say, can't contradict that. Can't go against fact. Man can't comprehend what he contradicts, so he makes covenants and break promises. I hate the government and what they did to colored men. Could I do a better job as a Democrat or Republican? It's not up to me. It's not up to you. It's all up to us, and God only knows the truth. We blinded by our own belief, guided by our own deceit. But when it's time to die, we pray for God, our soul to keep. We all God's children. Stuck in this hard living. Just want God to listen. Now let me paint the picture. Now let me paint the picture. No color, no face, no race. Just brothers and sisters and children. Man, listen. Can you hear it? The voice of God. He wants us all to unite like the stars and the stripes. Cause together we stand. Divided we fall without the man upstairs. We naturally lost. Cause it's deeper than religion. Deeper than the vision. This world is a prison and we need for him to listen. And forgive us for being so divided as a people, cause we all equal, we all feeble, we need guidance. Wake up and take the veil off your eyelids. Praise God and the truth you gon' find. Praise God and get a true peace of mind. We all God's children. Stuck in this hard living. Just want God to listen. Now let me paint the picture. Yeah, that's my picture. Babies crying. We singing praises to our King, the Most High. Yeah, Ambition. Boy, self-evident on the track.
You're listening to Third Eye Open.
We're back. I'm your host, Jerome Tucker. You're listening to Third Eye Open. You can join us by dialing 646-595-3705 and just press 1. I know you want to speak with our guest, Griot, who is Nick Colbert. She's an author. She's an attorney, entrepreneur. And she's created a tremendous book called CEO of My Soul. As she said, it's a double entendre. The soul was the name of her day spa. And it's also a book talking about the growth of her soul and who she's become as a person. And she was telling us a bit about, she was going into her relationship and how she found herself in a situation and how she was able to grow through it and what that meant to her and how that's affected her. So, Nicole, you can take it from there.
Yes, sir. So, You know, what makes people grow is pain. You know, if you're open enough, and I think strong enough to want to get out of pain, I think a lot of people, and I'm saying proudly, that they think pain is a constant. You know, that they've just had one thing after another thing kind of go on. And I don't think like that. I'm like, I want to grow. I want to learn the lesson. And I fundamentally want to be a happy person. I think the challenge is, so, you know, when I was younger and had my business, I really fell into the trap of looking like I had it all, you know, a relationship. I wanted to be married. I wanted to, have my children. And I didn't really know what characteristics and qualities to look for in a person. And so, you know, I really got burned. I burned myself. So I take responsibility. I'm not a victim. I made some really crummy decisions, you know, on my own. Being needy, you know, really believing that somebody else should complete me, and not really having the characteristics and qualities myself. You know, and what I realized after every relationship I've had, there is love. I have to have a whole person first. Or else Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yeah, we're clear now. Okay.
Okay.
Do that, don't move.
But I'm not moving, I'm sitting still.
Okay.
But just not being needy, you know, really taking responsibility for my own well-being, knowing that I was enough. And I think sometimes people, when they are vulnerable, they are needy, you will put up with a lot. You will put up with a lot of negative treatment when you don't treat yourself right in the first place. And that was a very hard lesson for me to learn.
So now that you've gone through it, how do you approach different challenges and things in your life now? Is it a different mindset that you approach it with? And are you more
I feel like, you know, let me just back up a little bit. I've gone through divorce. Is plural. When I lost my big business, I had to file, you know, on financial bankruptcy. I had a lot of difficulty during that phase, you know, in my life. And so sometimes when, you know, things happen all together that are quite catastrophic, I just try to tell you something. And I'm definitely getting my attention. And so I looked at it that way, that, okay,
so
this is not happening for nothing.
Am I breaking up? Nicole, am I breaking up?
I hear a little feedback. It's like it's a weird noise. Right now it's fine.
Okay, because you're breaking up. I don't think my audience is really getting clear what you're saying. It was hard for me. I have my wife is here on the line also. I'm just going to go to her real quick. I want to ask her, first of all, if you're clear, and if she can hear you. Maybe she can hear you and it's just me. Hey, Red, are you there?
Yes,
she
I'm here.
To be on this call.
Yes. Yeah. What did you say?
Okay. I didn't know whether or not you really wanted to be on air today, but I know you're here, so I wanted to bring you in. So, Nicole, this is my wife, Renetta. Renetta, this is the Nicole whose book we read, Nicole Cobra.
Hey, Miss Renetta.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, it is breaking up certain parts of it. The most interesting part keeps going in and out. I don't know if it's... the channel or what it is, but yeah, I'm getting that same and that noise.
What was
too.
I?
from time to time.
Was I breaking up also?
No.
No, okay. All right. Well,
it was like she was going in and out.
Right.
You could still hear
it,
but it was muffled. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I hope that we may need to do this again, because I definitely want people to hear what you have to say, and they have to get this book. So it seems like now everything's okay. Was there anything you want to ask, Nicole, while you're on there?
Not at the moment you caught me off guard, but I did enjoy reading your book. When it got to the end, Jerome had to explain to me who was who. It kind of threw me for
right. We'll talk about that. I'll talk to you about
that.
No, that's okay. I'll talk to you about that, Nicole. It's my wife, Renetta. We've been married for 36 years. And so the things that you were talking about you went through as a married couple, we understand. When it's right, it's right. And seeing you and your new loved one, it looks right. You can't tell from the outside, but it looks right.
Well, it feels. Can you hear me now? Am I still breaking up?
Yes.
I can hear you.
You can hear me. Okay. So, you know, what I say is, you know, I had to get right before it felt right. And I encourage people to take responsibility, you know, for themselves in relationships. And again, in my previous relationships, I did not feel like I was enough, you know, in some way. And when you're needy, you're putting that energy out there, and you may come back, you know. It's like you're putting any old thing on a fish bowl, you know, let's come back up if you're not right. And so, after a lost relationship and after my business, I really did take time out for me. And, you know, I'm at the church, I'm reading book, counseling.
Hello?
You know, included a lot of different things to where I really worked on feeling good about myself and stopped shame. Number one, just feeling like I'm enough, and I'm enough because God made me, you know, that I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to prove myself and prove myself to others and allow myself to be validated by other people. You know, there are people like myself who are pleasers, you know. That are people pleasers, and you know, you can't hear me, can you? I hear the break.
Oh, every time you say it cleared up, and we can hear you then.
Okay.
So,
but yeah, just to make a long story short, but you know, once I really felt good internally, felt like I was enough, I realized the whole energy around myself change, and I started different kinds of people, like different types of opportunities started coming into my life, and I hope that's a coincidence that that's when I met Harold, you know, who is a wonderful person, and I like to say he loves me like I love me. So I don't think I've ever
said
that in the past, you know.
Well, Nicole, we're going to have to come back and do this again. There's something wrong. I don't know if it's the channel that you're plugged in. I'll tell you what, we'll just do it again, because you've got some nuggets. I heard pieces of what you were just saying, and I want my audience to hear that. So we're going to step aside here. I'm going to play something here so we can try to see what's going on.
Do you want me to try to call in? You want me to try to call in through the computer, maybe?
No, just try another line. Just hang up and try and call in again, and we'll see if that's any better. So,
okay,
I'm going to take a break here while we wait for you to come back, and we're going to play a tune here, and it's going to give us a little insight. You hit on some things about what's on our mind, how we think, and how we control things. So, I've got a piece here that I know my audience is going to love it. It's called what's been on your mind? And it's someone that I kind of ran across a few years ago. It's by Joyce Myers, a tremendous, tremendous book that she has, The Battlefield of the Mind. And this is just a little piece from that, what's been on your mind. And we'll be back with Nicole Colbert in a minute.
The attitude that you have while you're in the wilderness determines how long you're going to stay there. Would you like me to say that again? The attitude that we have while we're in the wilderness determines how long we're going to stay there. You complain and remain, you praise and you'll be raised. Turn to the person next to you and say, what's been on your mind lately? Now, you know, one of the sad things is, and I won't get around to teaching about this until later on, but you know what some of you know what your answer was? Nothing. Can I tell you something? Empty space is a place. And people having a passive mind, just being empty-headed and not thinking about much of anything, can be just as big a problem as thinking wrong stuff. Because empty space is a place, and the devil's always looking for something empty that he can fill up. If you stay busy thinking about right things, the devil won't be able to fill your mind with wrong things. Hello? That's why it's so important to stay involved in helping other people. That's why it's important for you to be in some kind of service work in the kingdom of God. It's important for you to have plenty of time to rest, but it's also important not to have so much time on your hands that you become bored and all you have to do is just sit around or lay around and think up what's wrong with everybody else. We need to stay busy serving and helping one another. 2 Corinthians 10, please. Verses 4 and 5. Now, as the weekend goes on, each one of these messages, I believe, will get a little better, a little better, a little better, a little better. Tonight, I've got to try to lay a good, solid foundation about the importance of the mind and the importance of your thoughts, because I don't want to just assume that everybody knows this. There was a time when I didn't know it, and there may be people here that don't know it, and there certainly are people watching by television in various parts of the world who have never heard in your whole life that your thoughts have anything to do with what's going on in your circumstances. For the weapons of our warfare, verse 4 says, we are in a war. Could you say, I am in a war? For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Well, if they're not physical weapons, if they're not carnal weapons, then they must be spiritual weapons. A natural weapon you can see, you could go pick it up, but a spiritual weapon you cannot see. You have weapons to use against the enemy, but they are invisible. Equally powerful, but not to be seen with the natural eye. That's why so many people never learn how to do proper spiritual warfare. They are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds.
You're listening to Free EO Radio. Radio that is empowerment all day. We're entertainment for the soul. You don't have to walk on water when you know where the stones are. Look us up on Google Play, TuneIn, and on over 30 galactic platforms. We're sponsored by the new all-natural revolutionary 10 spray vitamins. If you're suffering with diabetes, asthma, inflammation, excessive weight, high blood pressure, Alzheimer's, aches and pains, we have a spray for you.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Third Eye Open. I am your host, Jerome Tucker, and that was Joyce Myers. If you do not have that CD set, get it. It is tremendous. Battlefield of the Mind. Joyce has a way of really breaking things down. You can join us by dialing 646-595-3705. If you have any comments or you just want to listen to the show, that's fine. A lot of people just call in and listen. But if you have anything you want to contribute, any questions that you have, we're always open to questions and comments. Our guest today is Nick Kober, Esquire, and her book is CEO of My Soul. And it's titled The Self-Love Journey of a Small Business Owner. And I'll tell you, the book is something that is much broader than I expected. And we have Nicole back now. Nicole, did you pay that phone bill?
You're so crazy. I am just on my little cell phone doing the same thing.
I was just saying.
So hopefully we get it together this time.
Okay, it's going to be great this time. Great this time. So the journey that you took with the incidents in your relationship and the incidents with your business, people look at those things and say, okay, you know, people have some problems and, you know, what are you complaining about? Everything is good, you know. But I think a lot of times people don't understand that we all, when we're doing things, we all need help, you know. We're in it and we're committed to doing it, but it sure would be nice if some people would jump in. And whether it's just sometimes, you know, when we're in those situations, I'm just speaking from my experience, sometimes you just want somebody to say, hey, you know, you're doing a good job, it's going to be okay. Or just drop you a nugget every now and then. Because when you're in that kind of situation, I don't know whether we do it ourselves, and you can tell me what your thoughts are. I don't know whether we do it ourselves or what, the self-inflicted. But we get to the point where we feel like we're alone and we're fighting this beast alone.
Yeah.
And so people around us can help us in just little small ways. Did you find that?
You're right. I'll say, number one, you know, you started off talking about, you know, how things look perfect. And, you know, it's so true. People don't like to share their stories, number one, except if it looks good, like social media, you know, Facebook, oh, I'm on vacation here, or look at this, look at that. And it really gives you this false reality that people, you know, that you somehow don't have it going on and everybody else on the planet does. Well, first of all, that picture is just 3 minutes out of a 24-hour day, right? So you don't know what happened before the picture or after the picture. And, you know, and I did, you know, I think a lot of people, you're right, they isolate themselves because they're ashamed, you know. Nobody wants to go around and say, hey, my relationship is not what it appears to be, you know. I mean, didn't we just hear it? Brad and Angelina, they're calling it quits. I mean, they look like they embodied perfection, right? And it's an illusion.
Yeah.
Everybody has challenges. And you can't just learn from when people are looking good. You really learn a lot of lessons from your own valley, and you can learn from other people's. And so, you know, getting back to my experiences, why did I choose to kind of air my dirty laundry, you know, about failures? Well, first of all, I had to go through not feeling ashamed of them. I really take great pride in my life. I love my lessons. I've learned to accept myself completely. I don't just accept myself for when I'm feeling good and I'm on television and, you know, Oprah's got my book. I have learned to have some compassion for myself when I get up and I'm not feeling so great, or I didn't get a particular client that I wanted, or, you know, or maybe one of my kids got a disappointing, you know, whatever our children go through, or, you know, me and my partner aren't seeing eye to eye on something. You have to have compassion, and the only way you can have compassion for others is by starting with having some for yourself. And we are so merciless, so judgmental of our faults and our failures. And that's what keeps you suffering. That is truly what keeps you from healing, is because you're beating yourself up half the daggone day. Why didn't I do this? I can't believe this went wrong. And, you know, that was something that I just try to work on. I'm not perfect. I don't get it right all the time. But when I am feeling especially vulnerable about something, I try to have a little care for myself. I have a little compassion. And if I can't do it, I really surround myself with love and with people who can see me in the best possible light and help me get back up and help me feel stronger and not be so hard on myself. And, you know, that's what I would hope that people would get out of my book, is that, you know, if I have the courage to own my mistakes and to have some dignity and some grace about myself, I hope that empowers, which is what you're all about, empowers other people to do that as well.
Yeah, I co-facilitate a workshop with men, and that's one of the things you try to teach them, is that you have to surround yourself with positive people, people that are going to lift you up. And it always comes up, and the question is, how do they do that? So how do you explain to someone, because you just mentioned it also, that when you're in a certain mindset or in a certain situation, you find and you make sure you surround yourself with those people. Well, if you're in a situation where you're around the people that you're with at that time, or the people that you have been around are not of that caliber, how do you make that change?
You have to. This is great. This is the single most, my mom says, re-engineer your thinking. You have to know what love feels like. You have to embody that for yourself. Love, one principle, love does not hurt. It does not. The way that God feels about you, that is not hurtful. He is not critical, I don't believe. He is not shaming you for your mistake. It's an unconditional affection that he has. And that's what helped me. Growing up, I didn't get that message. I thought that he was condemning. God was, you know, pretty scary figure. I grew up Catholic. You do this, or you go into hell. You don't do this, you go into hell. It was very scary. But I will tell you, you know, after I went through my trials and tribulations and really had nothing to show for, you know, my no accomplishments to show, you know, I lost my house, my business gone, another failed relationship. I will say that I felt God's love even more than ever before. And it was as if he was saying, you know, I've been here all along.
Wait. No, you just laid a gem right there. I feel you. I do. But explain what you just said, Lucy. Explain what you just said about how when you go through things, even though you lost all of that stuff, you felt more of God's love at that time than you had before. Yes. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that usually when you have a lot of accomplishment, right, you know, your job is going well, you got money in the bank, your house is good, you know, you may be, hey, thank you, God, thank you, but you have a lot going on. You got a lot of distractions. For me, and I was very, very busy trying to hold that illusion together, hold that little house of cards together. When it all fell, things were quieter, and that stillness was there. And it forced me to really just kind of analyze you don't have those things. Who are you? You don't have that business, those businesses anymore. You don't have that house. You don't have your Benz anymore. Well, who are you? And I had to rebuild on real love. I did feel God's presence more readily accessible to me because I didn't have all of those needy distractions. It's not to say you cannot have accomplishment and goodness, but for me, it really helped me reprioritize things and realizing that he loved me unconditionally, and that if he could do that, then I have a responsibility to feel that for myself, all right? To feel love for myself, whether I make $1 million or whether I have nothing. And if, 'cause if you can love yourself in your darkest, most shameful seeming time, that's empowering. And you don't allow people to use you and abuse you and manipulate you, because you are rooted in a true feeling of love for yourself and compassion. And so now, you know, that's what worked for me. I really do feel empowered by the love I give myself. And I have standards for how I talk to myself, the types of people I surround myself with. They are consistent with love. I try not to shame myself when I am critical. I try to stop that and replace it with love, with self-love. I replace negative people that try to flip the script on you, try to make you feel that you're not valuable, try to manipulate and make you feel guilty. That's not love. And I take those people out of my life and surround them with people that are consistent. They feel about me how I feel about myself. So to answer your question, when people say surround yourself with positive people, you have to feel positively about yourself first. And that makes it very easy. Negative people and positive people don't look nothing alike. They look nothing alike. But if you are used to just enduring and suffering and letting people guilt you because you don't love yourself, you'll let any old daggone person in the door. And that's what I found myself doing. But once I really had better standards for loving myself, it was very easy to know what people and opportunities to let in and what people and opportunities to fall back from.
Nicole, drop the mic right there. Drop the mic.
I was just hoping could you hear me? I was feeling it.
Yes,
I was like,
yes.
I don't think nobody heard me.
we're listening. This is Nicole Colbert, Esquire, the author of the book, CEO of My Soul. I'm so thankful for joining us, Nicole. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties. We got to do this again. I mean, because the part that you said about your bankruptcies and the divorces and things like that, it was breaking up. Please, will you come back again? Can we get you to come back again?
Absolutely, my friend, absolutely. And I'll pay that bill on time next time. I'll pay my bill on time next time.
On time, perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, Nicole Colbert here on Third Eye Open. You will be able to hear this. This is recorded, and you will be able to hear this program again. Hopefully you'll be able to hear more of it, and we'll be able to understand it. But we'll be on again next week, and we're ending this off with the whining, and a million didn't make it. Good night, everyone. We'll see you next week.
There probably be a thousand things I want to tell the Lord. Oh,
You're listening to Third